Well, Anne-Marie, today we're going to be talking about the gospel. What is the gospel? And we're going to be looking at a couple passages from the epistles of Paul. I've been getting into so many discussions lately with different individuals about the gospel. And it's funny, you'd think by now, after 2,000 years, the words of Christ, the words of Paul, his disciples, all the different things that have happened. But so much of the gospel is tied to, like when I ask somebody about what the gospel is, they'll say, they'll bring me to a genre of music. And it's, I'm like, wow. Or they'll make it something that's obviously good news, but it'll have nothing to do with what the Bible talks about the gospel. And so I'm glad we're looking at that today. So if somebody asked you that question, what is the gospel, Anne-Marie? What would be your answer? How would you where would you direct them? How would that look?
Well, first of all, again, we it's the good news, and that's a very simple definition. It's the good news, but what's the good news? And what's the bad news?
Mm.
If we have good news, then what happened?
Mm. Why would we need it?
Why would we need this good news? What happened? Where's the bad news? And because, I mean, I'm having a nice life. I have a nice family, and I have a nice factory. I make a good living, and I have a fairly good amount of investments, and I'm okay. My grandchildren are fine. Everybody's healthy. I don't need any good news.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that we do. There is a good news that is more than just, having the comforts of this life.
Mm.
Man needs this good news.
Okay.
Man had this good news from the beginning. In the beginning, before God created anything, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit enjoyed this beautiful love relationship of harmony. And that God's character is love. And out of that love, God created not only the universe and the galaxies and the earth, but created humanity in his image and likeness for the specific purpose of inviting them and sharing that love.
Mm.
So God is not isolated and one alone.
Mm, right.
But he lives for relationship. And so he created man. And he created families, and he created marriage, and he created nations. And the Apostle Paul says, man is a masterpiece, God's masterpiece, of all the creations, of all of the sun, the galaxy, the solar system, of all the scientific knowledge that man has found and man has not yet found. More brilliant than that is man. This is amazing.
Mm.
He was brilliant. Adam was brilliant, made in the image and in the likeness of God, enjoying this love relationship. And then something happened. Bad news. God gave Adam, love has to have freedom. So God provided freedom. In providing freedom, there were two trees in the garden.
Hmm.
The tree of life, kind of self-explanatory. Adam already had the life of God. God's breath breathed in him. And how is this tree of life in the garden? And Adam doesn't seem to be interested in this tree of life, perhaps because he has plenty of life, God's life, and it's not an immediate need. And what that tree of life is to me, it sounds like it's more life, abundant life, resurrected life, I don't know, more. Or maybe the sustaining life. That's what sustains life, keeps you alive and functioning and vibrant and full of love and full of faith and power. But whatever, Adam was attracted to the tree that God said, don't eat from this tree, where evil was its root. And so evil came in the world. So here's the bad news. Evil came in the world. What does evil look like? Well, let's take a look at it. What does evil look like? Looks like intense suffering, horror, pain that cannot be maintained. And how do we deal with this suffering and pain? Man deals with it through violence.
Mm.
But think about it. This is the reason why we have wars. It's the vengeance. What happened to the first children?
Mm. Yeah.
There was a misconception, a disagreement. God loves, likes your offering better than my offering. And so I'm going to solve this problem. And what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you.
Mm.
And so God in his, no, this did not take God by surprise. Freedom with love. This is what happens. But God freely gives. And so he himself came in the flesh to demonstrate his love. He said, I love you so much, I'm going to come in your flesh and bones just like you are. Lest you think that I'm this invisible, all-powerful God up there that you can't see, you can't touch. You can see me, you can touch me, you can know me. You, Adam, walked away from me. I did not walk away from you. See, that's so important. But Adam feels alone and separated. So he feels like God walked away from him. So this is the unrenewed mind. Because what we think then is what emotionally we feel.
Right.
So we feel abandoned and we feel left orphaned and in pain. And who's going to take care of me? And does anybody care about me? And when people don't care about us, we get kind of angry at them. Like, you know, and so this is the bad news. So what is the good news? The good news, the gospel, is the person of Jesus. The gospel is not a concept. It's not even the story about Jesus. It's not even the words that Jesus said, because the words that Jesus said are the person who Jesus is. In the beginning, Jesus was the Word. He didn't have a body.
Right.
He was the Word of God. And the Word of God, who is the second person of the Trinity, created everything. Nothing without him was created. So the good news is that Jesus, who is God, came in the flesh and became like us and lived on the earth where we have the historical Christ, which we love. We love to read about the historical Christ. He was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
He was just amazing. He did nothing but good. And then when he got good and mad at those that, didn't do right, he overturned the tables and he made a show. And boy, he was powerful. He was the hero. But what did mankind do with this Christ, with this person?
Mm.
What did they do?
They
put him to death. So evil, again, displayed in its uttermost, put Christ to death. And Christ submitted himself to that. To demonstrate, this is not about vengeance. The blood of Adam calls out, the blood of Abel calls out for vengeance.
Right.
My blood displays forgiveness.
Mm.
So the gospel message, okay, so the gospel is the person of Jesus, and the message that Jesus has to give is return, come home to the Father. You have misunderstood the Father all through the Old Testament. You have made him like other gods. And you did not see that he is your Father. And so Jesus walking with the disciples, and one of them asks them, how should we pray? Right?
Yeah.
How should we pray? Big topic today. And Jesus says, well, pray this way. What are the first words out of his mouth? Our Father. He introduces the Father to these, 12 fishermen. They don't know the Father. Our Father. Now, in the Lord's Prayer, he also says something that's very significant that deals with the bad news. Deliver us from evil.
Mm. Yeah.
Deliver us from evil.
Yeah.
There's enough evil in this world that touches every family. But there is enough love and faith and power in Christ that delivers us from evil. Don't you want your family to be delivered from? I like to be delivered from evil.
Yeah.
I like it when I make a mistake and I'm speeding a little too much on a highway, where that there doesn't happen to be a policeman around to give me a ticket and cost me $100.
Yeah.
I go, thank you, Father, because, you know, in my distractions or I can't be in tuned and do the law perfectly. We can't, but we're still trying. And here's the good news of the gospel. We're free from the curse of the law.
Mm.
We're free from the curse of the law. So the gospel, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Romans 1:16.
I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's not something like, it's that word ashamed. It's like, I'm not embarrassed to tell you what the gospel is. I'll talk till I'm blue in the face about the gospel, you know?
Yeah.
No, he's saying, it is the power of God. That's why I'm not ashamed. In other words, when I speak the gospel, when I talk about the person of Jesus,
yeah,
who he is, how much he loves me, and how he proved his love, faith ignites within your spirit. That's always been there. It's the faith of God. And all of a sudden, power happens. You are transformed. You receive the gift of salvation. Now, let's define salvation. You can go, you can write pages on what salvation is. And then most of us are very content to know that salvation simply means that I am not going to hell.
Yeah.
Well, what if there is no hell?
Mm.
How do you know there is a hell? It's so easy for us to believe what we have been told for years and years, and we just take it. But what about faith? I mean, faith believes the invisible.
So what you're saying is, obviously we believe in hell, but what you're saying is there's also a life now. That what good is this now, this gospel thing now? If it's not good now, then why are we banking on something that's invisible, right,
on
to us?
Hell or heaven?
Yeah. Yeah.
And who has seen heaven?
Yeah.
God has.
Yeah.
So we have to believe it by faith on what Jesus said.
Sure.
He said, I go to prepare a place for you, you know? And Jesus also said there's going to be a place where there's going to be gnashing of teeth, there's going to be horror and darkness, and who can even stand the darkness?
Right. So.
So, you know, but salvation means wholeness.
Amen. Yeah.
It means health.
It means that abundant life you were talking about.
It means provision.
Hmm.
It means I don't have to go begging for food. It means protection. God has provided deliverance from evil.
Mm.
It means I don't have to have this fear and terror that if I step off a curve a little too soon, a car is going to flatten me. Now, does that happen in this life? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Every day, evil happens.
Yeah.
It is heartbreaking. The pain is indescribable.
Yeah.
The pain that a mother feels when her teenage son is killed on a highway at age 16, with a full life ahead of him because of evil, of either carelessness or because of deliberate malice.
Yeah.
But God, the gospel, has the power to deliver us from evil. I mean, don't we love it? Don't we want it? Don't we want to experience it? And that's maybe a tricky word, is the manifestation of the gospel.
Yeah.
If Paul says it is powerful enough to change the human heart and the human mind.
Yeah.
Because it's the mind that got distorted at the fall.
Mm-hmm.
In our heart, we know we come from God. And we know we have to work really hard at suppressing that knowledge. No, I don't. No, there is no God. No, there is no good. We have to really, really work hard. And some of us, boy, we do a good job of working so hard, try to annihilate the face of God from us. Well, we can't. Our heart, as it has an imprint.
Yeah.
But our mind is something else. Our mind, you know, Adam used his mind, his incredible intelligence that God gave him, that when he named all the animals, is just proof of that, and decided, I don't need to walk with God.
Yeah.
That's all he decided. I can do this by myself. Look at all that I have. It's beautiful. It's all mine. God gave it all to me. Why would I need God?
Yeah.
When I have all of this, I have enough abundance for nations.
Right.
Why would I need God? And he chose to walk separate, to live separate from God. And God will not allow it.
Right.
This is God's fire. This is God's fury. I will not give you up. Not leaving you. Not abandoning you. Not only that, I'm pursuing you. I am pursuing you. I'm leaving heaven and I'm coming in flesh. And I'm going to experience all the pain and heartache and emotions and weaknesses. I'm limiting myself to flesh and blood so that you know that I know what it feels like to be you.
Yeah.
And yet, I'm going to show you how to walk in this life, in flesh and blood, with me on the inside of you. And here is the mystery of the gospel. And that is in Colossians 1:26. And it's, you know, it's actually in John 17. It's actually all over. But in the Old Testament, it's very hidden. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says that to us. It says, we might as well read it because it's just a kind of, it truly has been hidden. When you are told the story of Jesus dying on the cross, you don't get this verse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't even know this verse. So it seems like, well, why is anybody talking about it?
And it's interesting you're talking about evil and pain. The 24th verse says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake and in my flesh. I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body. And then that leads into 26.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll let you read
that one. Yeah, in 26 it says, the mystery. So this says that intrigues me.
Yeah.
Because if it's a mystery means, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't know it. I don't know it.
Sherlock Holmes.
And Pastor Mark may not know it.
Yeah.
It's very possible that Billy Graham may not know
it. Yeah, yeah.
It's very possible that theologians from end times may not know. And he'll say, the mystery of which was hidden. Oh, now I'm in even more.
Yeah. And if God hides it.
Was hidden.
Yeah.
Was hidden for ages. God, Father. I want to know this mystery.
Yeah.
And generations was hidden from Moses, was hidden possibly from Elijah, from all these heroes, from Jonah, Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale. Possible he didn't know that that was a picture of the burial and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
All this. The myth, it's all in shadows.
Yeah.
But it's hidden for ages and generations, even from angels and men, it says in the Amplified.
Wow.
In quotes.
Yeah.
But is now revealed to his holy people, the saints. Now, lest we get all hung up on the word holy.
Right.
Okay? I'm not holy enough. So it's not going to be revealed to me.
Yeah.
That word holy means set apart.
Right.
It doesn't mean perfect.
Right.
And it doesn't mean without sin.
Right.
It means set apart. And God set us apart to himself from the beginning.
Yeah.
So I am included in this people. Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave or free, that's what God accomplished for Jesus as well. So it says, to whom God was pleased to make known. Ah, now I'm getting excited. It's pleasing God to reveal, to make known the hidden mystery that has been hidden from the ages, from men and angels. And it's pleasing God to make it known how great for the Gentiles. Remember, the Gentiles had been the left out. Israel was God's nation. Yeah. And God revealed things to Israel, not to Gentiles in the Old Testament. Gentiles kind of were on the outside, gleaning a little here and a little from there, and getting a glimpse of who God was. And some believed and had transformed lives, like Ruth. You know? So to make known how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. He still has not told us what the mystery is.
Yeah.
But he says it's great. The riches of the glory, which was what was lost in the fall. The glory of God was lost for man. Of this mystery, which is Christ within and among you. The hope of glory. That's the mystery. Christ in me. That's the gospel.
Yeah.
Christ in me. Christ is in me. Now, if I don't believe that Christ is in me, it doesn't change the fact that Christ is in me. I just don't benefit from it. Do I want to benefit from the power of the gospel? Do I want to benefit from the person of Jesus who provided all this, and all of this is wrapped in him? He's the gift, and he's the giver. It's a person, and he lives in me. And Jesus prayed for this in John 17. And if anybody's prayer is answered, Jesus said, not only, it didn't happen because Jesus prayed it. Jesus was just saying, just reminding the Father, now remember,
right.
This was from the beginning.
Right.
I pray that we're one. I mean, I pray, now this is about to happen, that we're one, that you and I, and you and me, and I and them, and them and me, and the Holy Spirit in us, and you loving me, and I loving you, Holy Spirit loving people, and you loving people, humanity, and I, and you loving me, and you loving me as much as you love them, talking about humanity, as much as you love me. And I pray that where I am, there they may also be. So where is Jesus?
Sure, in glory. Yeah.
And where am I?
Glory.
And Jesus is in me.
Sure.
And I'm in him. That's the good news.
Yeah.
That's the good news, that I am not alone. I am not abandoned.
Yeah.
Even though my brain has told me a lifetime that, boy, you're on your own. You better fly right. Because if you don't do this right, you're going to get consequences.
Right.
And you're going to suffer the pain and anguish of your sins. I'd rather hear the good news. Christ lives in me, who is able to keep me from sinning and keep me from the consequences and protect me from the evil one. Protect me from evil. And so I just lots of verses that tell us of the glory of, you know, what this life with Christ in us is about. And the fact that we died with him. We were raised with him. We were ascended with him.
So the key to you, in your mind, the gospel is in Christ, and Christ in us.
And Christ in us, yeah. I in Christ, and Christ in me. Christ, Jesus was not the only one that died on the cross. I died with him.
Right. Amen.
And for specific reasons. I died to sin. That habitual, deliberate habit of wanting my own way and not acknowledging God in my life. I died to the selfishness of me. I died to the law, to this thing that I have to be perfect and fulfill the law. Jesus fulfilled it. And I died to the world system. Now that's interesting. Because here we are in the world, and we have, there's a system that governs us.
Yeah.
But then we're also in the kingdom, and there is a king and a kingdom that is supernatural, spiritual, invisible, that is within us and governs us. And so Jesus encourages and says, remember, the world is at enmity against God. Now that should help me, lest I get very, very much. And I'm talking about the system, not the people. Now the people run the system, but Jesus loves the people,
right,
hates the system that right. enslaves people. It's the same system that Jesus was under when he lived in the flesh. It was the Romans, the same system the Babylonians, that Israel was under, Egypt, the system of East. God doesn't hate the Egyptians. He doesn't help the but he hates the system that enslaves people.
Right, because he says in John 3:16, God loved the world. But then in 1 John, he says, love not the world.
Love
and
not
it's
the
two
world.
Difference.
Yeah. So it's the world. The world is passing away.
Yeah.
Does it help me to know? It's okay for... I can be dead to... The world is passing away. We'll take a look at it. You know, take a look at, you know, five presidents ago. Where is he? Where is Hitler? Where is Stalin? Where are the rulers that you know were renowned, world renowned, powerful? The world is passing away. Do not love the present world. Do not love the present
world. That cosmos,
world. Do not, whatever is born of God or whoever is born of God is victorious over the world. Why is that? Who's in me?
Christ.
Victorious over the world. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have tribulations, but
be
of good cheer. I have overcome. I, meaning Jesus, has overcome the world, not Anna Marie. So, for what purpose was the Son of God manifested? To destroy the works of the evil. To destroy evil. This is why Jesus came. And so it's the manifestation of Jesus that we long for. And as he is, so are we in this world. What are we going to do with that verse? I'm sure some of us hate it.
Yeah.
And theologians mostly hate it.
Sure.
It's like, what are you saying, that we're gods? No, I'm saying that Christ lives in human flesh. I choose to believe that Christ lives in me. And that is the hope of glory.
Amen. Would you pray? Because there's just that somebody, as they're listening to this, they once again, that prayer of, I want to believe this, help my unbelief. But we've talked about faith. We've talked about what is man? Who is God? Who's Jesus? What's the gospel? That they would believe, first, if they've never taken that step of faith, to believe that it's possible that God would love them enough to send his son to die. But then when they do believe, that faith transaction happens, and boom, they get the good news. They actually get the good news. So would you pray for them, Anna Marie?
Yes. Father, we thank you that your love for us has never, ever, ever diminished or changed in any way, no matter what we have done, no matter how terrible we have behaved, no matter what terrible thoughts we have had, no matter how badly we have treated one another, Father, your love has remained unchangeable. And that's why you could say to us that love never fails. And so, Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear the good news of the gospel, which is Christ in us.
Amen.
The good news is about Jesus, and that Jesus lived in us. Therefore, he is united and knit together with us, ready and able and powerful enough to change our hearts, renew our minds, and help us deliver us from the evil times that we have to go through every day, so that we can have the confidence and the see the manifestation of the glory of Jesus living in us, just as it was in the very beginning.
Amen. Amen.